All right, how we doing, guys? It's Monday, April 21st, 2025. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. I am back. It's good to be back. It's good to have power. Good that I was able to get a meal after not having any food for almost 2 weeks. What a nightmare. Ugh. Hope you guys are well. Thank you to Tony. He's the reason we have power and I got a meal. Well, we're not out of the woods yet. We have to raise $50 by tomorrow to keep the power's on. The internet. Just the internet. The internet's going to be shut off on Wednesday if I don't pay the bill. So we have to raise $50 by tomorrow. So everybody donate, buy a download. We've got 11 films out already this year, the newest of which is The Akashic Records. If you're a fan of my Emerald Tablets of Thoth readings from back in the day, you're definitely going to be able to see this film. Short film, it's cheap. I'm trying my best, the last few films, I'm trying my best to make at least some shorter films. That way I can charge less for them, so the last few I may have kind of been under that. I posted some of my classic interviews from the early days of the show up on YouTube, one of which is actually the second show I ever did, September 27th, 2007. I don't have many of those old shows, so I treasure the ones that I do. But the second show I ever did, September 27th, 2007, was Peter Dale Scott. And that was the show I found out about the Council for National Policy. You know, it's fascinating because Peter Dale Scott, a lot of people don't know this, Peter Dale Scott is the guy that coined the phrase, deep state. That was his phrase. That came from Peter Dale Scott. Yeah. Second guest, the second show I ever had on my second day on the job. And man, everybody too, I remember it was funny because I had big guests in the first year or two of the show. I had guests nobody had, just because I already had a reputation online as a researcher and stuff. So a lot of, and I'd been, you know, communicating with a lot of these people for years, even before I was on air. So once I got a show, those guys came right on. So yeah, up on YouTube, my second show ever with Peter Dale Scott, classic interview I did with Jim Mars. From July 2008, when he was promoting his book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich. Also from 2008, my 2008 interview with David Icke. Yes, yes, that was a crazy interview. I interviewed David Icke back in the day just one time, but you know what's weird? The one thing you don't get when you listen to that interview is that the whole time, from the time the interview started, this is so fucking weird. I was being subjected to energy vampirism from the moment that interview started. Like, he was energy vampiring me. And when the show ended, I had one of the worst migraines I've ever had in my life. It took me hours to recover from it. Then I went and saw David Icke in Santa Fe, New Mexico in 2009. And I got pictures. I still got them. I've got pictures I took during that show where you could see him shape-shifting. You know, all that talk about reptiles all those years, that motherfucker is the reptile. I'm not even joking about that. It's crazy. Anyway, there was weird shit at that show that happened while we were there. I don't know, the whole thing was just weird. So that one's up there. Peter Dale Scott, Jim Mars, David Icke, and then the newest one I posted yesterday, which actually was recorded 14 years ago yesterday, from April 20th, 2011, My Hour with William Bramley, author of the book Gods of Eden. It's fascinating. I didn't know when I listened back to the interview. I heard him kind of hint at it. He didn't go into detail. I don't know why now, but you know, I had just not gotten as far in 2011. I had not gotten as far into my Scientology research then. I didn't know about, you know, the free zone Scientology or squirrels or any of that yet. Well, that's what I found out later after I did that interview. And that's what makes that interview fascinating when you listen to it. William Bramley is not his real name. His real name is something else. It's a fake name. William Bramley's a squirrel. I didn't know that at the time. He's a for real squirrel. Yeah. He's a defector of Scientology. He was in Scientology and then he defected and started telling off their secrets. So he's squirrel status with the Church of Scientology. Yeah. He mentions in that interview something about I thought about joining the Freemasons just to find out their secrets and give them away or whatever. But that was the hint he dropped. See, I didn't pick up on that hint when I did the interview because I didn't know he was a squirrel yet. I didn't even know anything about the concept of they call them squirrels. You know, people who defect from Scientology and all that. I didn't know that. William Bramley's a squirrel. That means so. And I read, you know, that you can find that audiobook is still out there. I read his book, Gods of Eden. Now I understand. Oh, so he was their second go-to guy after Sitchin. Remember I told you that story? It's in Anunnaki, the movie One. I told you the story about Sitchin and how he was paid by L. Ron Hubbard to write all that stuff to lend credence to Scientology. And well, it's pretty clear William Bramley was also a guy who did that as well. Also, the only difference, he was an actual member of the Church of Scientology at some point. But it's a really good interview. And I don't know, I wanted to post some of this older stuff on my YouTube channel because I've been on air for 18 years this year in September. And a lot of people might be new to my work. A lot of people are new to my work. And they just, you know, it's not that they forgot. They just don't know how long I've been around and how much I've really done. And so I'm going to post some more of that classic stuff in the coming days and weeks. Man. So I mentioned I have 11 films out this year. I want to take a minute to talk about the films. Again, we have to raise $50 by tomorrow to keep the internet on here at the studio while I work on the next film, which 10 people will buy. Alright. Okay, so I made 32 films last year. 11 already this year. Ten in 2023. Alright, so last year, I'm gonna start last year. What was the first film I put out last year? Spellcasters Volume 5. Then came Merle Haggard, American Hero. Whether or Not, Skies of Lies, that's my chemtrail film. It's the best chemtrail film ever made, and it was 10 years worth of research, but 20 years. Yeah, 20 years. 2004 was when I started, so yeah. 20 years researching Whether or Not, Skies of Lies, my chemtrail, whether or not you should get that one. The MC5, Detroit Steel, The Inside World, Operation Mongoose, JFK, The Mafia, and the CIA. That's a crazy one because it just, I made that film last year, and then the truth that it's actually, not that I doubted it was true, but we got confirmation it was real this year with the Kennedy document release. Illuminated, The Illuminati, Some Facts, Some Fiction. Origin of Power, The Priest Class. That's a really good one. The Chronovisor, Real or Not. Hyperthymesia, Never Forget. Terraform, The Ultimate Reset, that's all about terraforming and the idea the elite could terraform the planet. The crazy, you know, environmentalists to wipe out humans and hit the reset button on Earth. Operation Dominic, Fishbowl and Starfish, Mother of All Lies. That's one of my favorite ones. That's about the nuking of the Van Allen radiation belt, which is the absolute positive reason why we know we didn't go to the moon, above all other reasons, because you can't go past the radiation, the Van Allen radiation belts to leave Earth and go into space, and you can't make it coming back going through them. So, anytime, because people always do that. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, so you can talk about the moon landing not being real. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a rationalist. You know, just look at everything rationally. Armageddon 2025, but all the different ways the world has been predicted to end this year. We still got time. The Mandela Effect, fact or fiction, and that was one, because when I first heard about the Mandela Effect, I didn't believe in it, you know. And then one actually happened to me, and then I went, oh, there's something to this. The Temple of Hathor, Building of the Gods, filmed on location in southern Egypt at the Temple of Hathor. The Secret Rite 2024, replaced Beyond Fall. That's an important one because that's got somebody else that I discovered has been replaced besides just Fall, McCartney. Queen's Bedroom, told you about that one recently. The Spellcaster's Addendum, the Dirty Tricks Department, that's an overlooked one. The Great Reset, that's another important one. Spookcoin, did the CIA create Bitcoin? Kennedy versus Fauci, truth versus lies. Where's Shelley, the disappearance of Shelley Miscavige. The Simulation Theory. Anunnaki the Movie. Synchronicity, that one is one I really enjoyed making that a lot of people skipped over. You should definitely see my movie Synchronicity, and the one right after it too. Pretty much that's where the run begins, I think, right there, as far as it's almost every film I've made since after Anunnaki the Movie has been overlooked. So Synchronicity, The Tale of Quetzalcoatl, that's a fucking really good one that a lot of people didn't check out, and you really should. Because it ties in with the Anunnaki stuff and all that. Anunnaki 2, Demigods and Demons. Death from the Left, Socialism, Marxism, and Communism. The Complete History of Hermetics, The Ultimate Masterclass. Yeah, that one kind of ties in with the newest one I made, The Cosmic Records, also. The Lemurians, Blavatsky and Theosophy, Past Lives and Reincarnation, The Drone Truth, that was the first film of this year, deals with all the drones over New Jersey and gives you the truth you won't get anywhere else. Arthur C. Clarke Predicts the Future, Mystery Fog, The Fog of War, about the mystery fog that also occurred this year, The Alaska Triangle, The Spellcaster Volume 6 Comedy, that's the final installment of the Spellcaster series, and it's the most, so far, the least performing one of all of them. I guess a lot of people don't want their bubble busted on their favorite comedians, just like I busted their bubble on Alex Jones and all their right-wing people back in the day. A lot of people are scared of my info because I ruined Paul McCartney and ruined the Beatles for them. So now a lot of people don't trust me because they know that I'm probably going to, if they like something, I'll probably ruin it if they hear me talk about it. I can't apologize for that. I'm just doing my job. It's what I do. If it ruins your favorite band for you for life, well, sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Badfinger. Tragic Beauty, that's another one from this year about the band Badfinger, one of my favorite bands ever. Our Thing, Cosa Nostra, The History of the Mafia. God is AI, my most important film of this year. The top 10 conspiracy theories of 2025, according to AI. Polybius about the mysterious CIA-created video game of the same name, Polybius. And that brings us to the last and newest one, the Akashic Records. So you can find links to the download store in the comment section on YouTube, anywhere else, just in any of my videos on YouTube, just hit the comment section. If you're ever trying to find how to donate or find the download store and do that, just hit the comment section. It's usually always the first comment on my videos that I post, okay? Patreon.com/ReevesMafia. That's patreon.com/ReevesMafia. And that's how you get access to listen to all the weekly shows. Some of my films are up there and be adding more. So come over to the Patreon today, all right? Wow. So it was Easter weekend this weekend and the Pope passed away. See that shit? Dude, that was some crazy shit. They whacked his ass. Oh, the Pope got fucking whacked on. I can't believe people should be fucking screaming for the rafters about this. See, you don't know about Easter and Ostara, pagan fucking fertility ritual and all that. I mean, they always, you know, they always made a sacrifice on Ostara for the fertility of the future. They sacrificed the Pope. Are you going to tell me this happens right after J.D. Vance is, they're having a meeting with the Pope? And they have this big kerfuffle, this big blow-up because the Pope was pro-illegal immigration. And J.D. Vance was chastising him about being pro-illegal immigration. Then, boom, what happens? They, you know, croaked. They whacked his ass as a sacrifice for Ostara, for the pagan ritual. The pagan fertility ritual. I'm telling you, 100%. And if you fucking think that didn't happen, you need to fucking do some research. That's exactly what happened. They whacked the fucking Pope as the sacrifice for Ostara. It's, I was blown, even when I was blown away by that. Because, you know, I've been talking about those kind of things for over a decade, decades now. I've been talking about that shit forever. And we all know it's real, and it exists, but it's just, it's still crazy when one happens right before your eyes. And then the majority of people of the world don't even know that's what happened. Well, that's what happened. The Pope got whacked as a sacrifice for Ostara. That's, I mean, there's just no two ways around that. That's what happened. It just goes to show you the power of the Trump administration as well. It's just crazy. Yeah, they whacked him for sure. 100% they whacked him. There's no doubt about that. Listen, it doesn't matter who's in there. Doesn't matter if it's your guy, their guy, and by your guy, their guy, I mean the guy on the right, guy on the left, whatever. Doesn't matter who the president is, okay? One thing you can count on happening, go back and look at every single president ever. What happened, what one thing of all things, and many things happen under presidents, but what one thing do all presidents have in common? What happened under every president that's ever been president of the United States? Give up. People got whacked. Doesn't matter who the president was in every presidential whatever cat or whatever they, people got whacked under Lincoln, people got whacked under Washington, people got whacked under every single president. People get whacked. That's what happens. People got whacked under Reagan. People got whacked under Clinton, of course. We know that. But, you know, everybody gets whacked. People get whacked under fucking every... For political reasons, I mean. Not just like people randomly get killed. I mean, people get fucking whacked. What is being president good for if you can't have people whacked when you have them whacked, really? You know what I mean? It's kind of like being mob boss. I mean, what good is being a mob boss if you can't take out your enemies, right? With impunity. Same thing here. The Pope, as figurehead of the Catholic Church, is just too... I mean, the Pope, if you're the Pope, you're bigger than the President, you're bigger than the Queen, you're bigger than Britney Spears, you're bigger than... Than Taylor Swift, whoever. You know what I'm saying? So, who is the biggest and most well-known, or who was, rather, He's gone. Who before he died, who was the biggest and most well-known pro-illegal immigration person in the world? The Pope. And with the majority of, I don't want to say a majority, let's just say, because that's two. Let's just say a good number, a great number, with a great, great number of Mexican people being Catholic. This has been viewed by people against illegal immigration as, you know, the biggest voice that Mexican people are going to listen to is going to be the Pope, Catholics in general. And if they're basically telling their congregation that they encourage illegal immigration, that's, you know, the powers that be that are against illegal immigration are, you know, whether the math's correct or not, they're going to add 2 + 2 = 4 in their head and go, okay, maybe all this illegal immigration has been caused by the fact that the Pope was telling everybody they should be illegally immigrating to America. You know what I mean? So, you know, you can be against something, and I certainly, you know, I'm against wagging, but you can be against something, but also still see the point. You know what I mean? I mean, you see all the millions of illegal Mexicans pouring into the United States, and then you realize that the Pope himself, who a lot of them listen to, is telling them they should do it. That's, listen, that makes the Pope no different than Saddam Hussein and, you know, fucking Mossadegh and Iran, whoever. You know what I mean? Makes him an enemy of the state. And I think the United States government, in my opinion, viewed the Pope as an enemy of the state and had him taken out. I believe it. 100%. No question. Give me just a second. Oh, I didn't realize that. Hold on. I was under the impression that J.D. Vance had this thing with him over illegal immigration previously or something. Wow. I didn't realize that. Really? Wow. Okay. Oh, fucking A. Bro, they whacked that motherfucker. I didn't realize J.D. Vance was there in the Vatican with the Pope on Easter Sunday, and then right after he leaves, he croaks over and dies. Holy shit. I didn't even realize that. I thought this was too... Oh, yeah, I mean, okay. There's no... I'm sorry, I'm laughing, y'all. I know it's probably inappropriate, but holy fucking shit. Oh my god. See, these are the kind of reactions I have off air when I'm looking at these stories and stuff that you don't normally get to catch. Oh my fucking god. U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance met briefly with Pope Francis on Sunday to exchange Easter greetings after they got into a long-distance tangle over the Trump administration's migrant deportation plans. Bro, they sent J.D. Vance in to whack this motherfucker because it wouldn't be obvious. Oh my fucking god. They had their disagreement. I heard about the disagreement, and I heard it was over the phone or something. So I thought it was two different. I thought this was, and then I just thought he killed over yesterday after this happened, you know, days or weeks ago or whatever. No, I was not informed correctly about that. J.D. Vance was at the Vatican yesterday just hours before the Pope croaked. After they had already had their blow about the Pope being pro-illegal immigration. Oh. Oh my fucking God. Damn. They used to not be, they used to be a little more subtle about it. They used to not make it so obvious. Boy, that was obvious as fuck right there. The Vice President of the United States goes to the Vatican and meets with the Pope, and then a couple hours later he croaks over dead. Nah. And we're supposed to just think that's a coincidence, huh? Okay. Nice story, bro. Oh, man. Cool story, bro. Yeah. Hey, believe in that one for a second. People who believe that also believe Michelle Obama isn't a man. Holy fuck, they whacked out the fucking Pope. Well, I gotta say, so of all the things the Trump administration has done so far, whether I agree with it or not, through all the things the Trump administration has done so far, that is the most impressive, because that's just in your face, not giving a fuck to a T right there. Are you fucking kidding me? What J.D. Vance must have been like, nah, fuck this motherfucker. Fuck this motherfucker. I'm taking care of this motherfucker myself, bitch. I'll kill this motherfucker myself. Call him the N-word and shit. Fuck that N-word, the Pope. I'm gonna kill that N-word myself. You know that's what J.D. Vance was doing. Cause, you know, they had their entanglement or whatever, but it was on the phone. And then, Ostara, Easter, pagans called it Ostara. They sent the vice president on Easter Sunday to the Vatican, and just a few hours later, the Pope just happens to kill over dead. Oh, holy shit. Oh, my fucking God. These fucking people, man. I'm impressed. I really actually am impressed by this. Because that's so brazen and in your face that the give a fuck is just gone. They used to do stuff like, maybe they give it a couple of days or something. Oh, you know, he ate some bad egg salad on fucking Easter Sunday and, you know, became violently ill and, you know, had shit coming out of every hole for 2 days and then passed away or something. You know, stuff like that. They used to... But y'all send the Vice President of the United States to the Vatican, and he meets with the Pope, and then a couple hours later, the Pope kills over dead, and y'all just go, yeah, that's normal. Yeah, that's nothing strange about that. He was old. Yeah, that's normal. That's normal. Oh, man, that might be, I mean, we are still early in 2025, but man, that might be the biggest thing the Trump administration has done yet in 2025. These motherfuckers. And again, like I said, whether you agree with it or not, if you just put yourself in their shoes, they actually, you know, I guarantee you, I know what they did. They designated the Pope as a military combatant and took him out. Which is really the only way they could do that. Which they were able to do once they were able to prove that the Pope was telling, you know, his flock that they should be illegally immigrating to America. And he's all for it. And J.D. Vance and him have a blow up on the phone over it. And as you know, J.D. Vance, I'm going to fucking Rome. I'm going to kill this N-word myself. Holy shit. Oh, man. Well, you know what that means, right? That undoubtedly means J.D. Vance will be president now. There's no question, because that's the kind of thing they like to do before, you know, the Epstein Islands and stuff like that are not the only way they compromise people and get them in, you know, where they can be controlled. It's kind of like being jumped into a gang. You know what being jumped into a gang is, right? Where the whole gang beat your ass, and then after they beat your ass, you're in. That's kind of like how, that's what the Elite kind of do. They do that same kind of thing. And boy, J.D. Vance got his golden ticket now. Oh yeah, you're going to see the rise of J.D. Vance in the future now. 100%. He's the guy that whacked the Pope. His star is on the rise. Mark my words, I said that. I want you guys to remember, cut this out and save it when that happens 4 or 5 years from now. I want you guys to remember I said it back in April of 2025 that J.D. Vance's star was going to be on the rise now, because whether he was whether he did it himself or whether he was definitely part of the op to do it. So J.D. Vance's star is going to be on the rise now. He's going to be a major political player on the right wing of American politics for some years to come. He's not going to just disappear into obscurity like that Council for National Policy cocksucker. Can't remember his name now. Pence. It's crazy to have a vice president that was so not present, not there, but really running shit. You can't remember his name. Pence. Yeah, he was Council for National Policy cocksucker. Holy shit. I'm blown away by that. I knew about the call. Him and the Pope had their call and all that. And I knew that it happened recently. So I just figured, okay, you know, it's probably because of that they whacked him. Then I found out this. No, J.D. Vance was actually there in the Vatican with the Pope. And then just a short time later, he kills over and dies. What? Wait, what? Bro, if I went to the White House and met Trump, in a couple of hours he killed over dead, y'all motherfuckers would be saying Josh Reeves killed the president. Y'all would be calling me Oswald in about 2 seconds. There's no way. You know what I mean? Whether it's true or not, people would be saying that. J.D. Vance goes to the Vatican and meets the Pope just a short time later. The guy kills over croaks. Oh, get the fuck out of here. Oh, my God. Wow, that would even fucking blows my hair back. Garden of Eden found as scientists claims biblical paradise is linked to the pyramids of Giza. Well, could be true, because I told you before, the people who built the pyramids came from inner earth. The passageway into inner earth is underneath the Sphinx. A scientist has made a bold claim that the Garden of Eden was located in Egypt. No, it was located within the earth. It may have been under the earth in Egypt, but it was under the earth. Rather than the traditionally accepted region of the Middle East, according to the blah, 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 I don't care, according to the Bible, we all know that. However, Dr. Konstantin Borisov, a computer engineer, has now argued that these rivers correspond to the Nile, Euphrates, Tigris, and Indus, which are in alignment with the medieval European world maps. In his 2024 paper published in Archaeological Discovery, Borisov highlighted maps that show a circular world surrounded by a river named Oceanus, and the very top of the map is Paradise or Eating City nearby. Yeah, that's an inner earth map, bro. Yeah, that's not a above ground earth map. But thanks for playing and trying to confuse people on that. By re-examining a map from around 500 BC, it becomes apparent that the only four rivers emerging from the encircling Oceanus are the Nile, Tigris, Euphrates, and Indus, he wrote. Even more, the researcher claims that the Great Pyramid of Giza sits where the Tree of Life once grew. But again, that's all within the earth. They came, that's where they came, Egypt is where they rose out of within the earth, and they built all that stuff there because that's where they first came out of. You know, those new findings they found under the pyramid that stretched way down, we know now that the Great Pyramids were just the tops of these like major obelisks that went down into the ground. They never discovered. Yeah, I can't wait till they uncover all that shit. So I have no doubt that, yes, the Garden of Eden probably was in the area, but wasn't above ground. It was within the earth. Watch my film, The Inside World. Oh, give me a second. Wait for an article to load here. How humans adapted to increased cosmic radiation during a geomagnetic excursion 41,000 years ago. Around 41,000 years ago, the Earth's magnetic field weakened by up to 90% during a geomagnetic excursion known as the Last Chance Event. This rare event reduced the planet's natural shielding against solar and cosmic radiation, exposing the surface to increased ultraviolet energy. A new study combining space weather modeling and archaeological evidence shows that early humans adapted to these extreme conditions through the use of ochre, clothing, and caves. While Neanderthals may have lacked such protective strategies, which may have contributed to their extinction. Well, so did inbreeding. A study by the University of Michigan established in Science Advances on April 16th examines the Last Chance geomagnetic excursion, a short-lived but intense event that occurred around 41,000 years ago. During this period, Earth's magnetic field weakened to about 10% of its present-day strength, reducing the planet's shielding capacity and allowing increased UV radiation to reach the surface. The Last Chance excursion, dated between 42,000 and 41,500 years ago, was a geomagnetic excursion, a temporary disturbance in Earth's magnetic field that did not result in a permanent polarity reversal. The event involved significant pole shifts and a sharp decline in field strength. Let me speak to that for a minute, because it's something that's been, as long as I've been doing this, it's something I still see people to this day make videos and lie about. Listen, there is zero, and I mean zero. It's all theory. There's no provable evidence that ever happened, because it doesn't. You know how many times, just in your lifetime, there's been pole shifts on Earth and pole shifts with the sun? A lot. They don't cause cataclysms. But still, I see people on YouTube, still, in 2025, perpetuating this myth and this lie of pole shifts causing earth-ending cataclysms. They don't. They're just natural things that happen, just like climate change is a natural thing that happens. Sometimes places are lush, tropical lands, and then, now today, they're reduced to barren deserts, and nobody was driving around SUVs or burning coal in those days. Okay? So get off the whole pole shift thing being cataclysm. It's bullshit. So next time you see somebody trotting out that tripe, call them out on it, all right? Give me just a second, guys. I didn't even bother reading this one yet. Oh, give me a second, blow my nose. No, excuse me. I didn't bother reading this because I knew it was, I was like, well, clearly just from this headline, this is some bullshit. But it's Newsweek. It's not the tinfoil time, so maybe there is something to it. But I'll find out on the show with my audience. Let's see here. You guys ready for this one? White House says it has tech that can manipulate time and space. Excuse me? I really would have thought this was fake and clickbait had it not been Newsweek and, you know, wait, what? If the White House really had the ability to manipulate space and time and they admitted to it, don't you think that's all that would be on TV and the internet? No, there's nothing. So let's find out what bullshit this is, shall we? A comment by the White House science advisor, Michael Castizos, is that how you say it? I can't even pronounce it. Has gone viral after a speech in which he claimed U.S. technology can manipulate time and space, prompting online speculation. The viral interpretation of Castizos' comment reflects the growing impact of social media in framing public understanding of government's messaging. Guess what? AI wrote this article. Yep. No human right. I can tell by the way the wording. It's this is AI written. While the White House has not issued a formal clarification, the speech's wording suggests that the phrase was metaphorical. Of course. Of course it is. Of course you would say that. I agree. Even if they had tech, they could manipulate space and time, the White House would never come out and tell us. I agree with that statement. But to try and now write it off after the fact by saying it was metaphorical, that's suspicious to me. You know what I mean? Of course they would say that. The wording suggests the phrase was metaphorical, intended to refer to the transformative nature of modern innovation, not literal manipulation of space-time or the invention of time travel. Nah, somebody fucked up. He fucked up when he said that. And there's more truth to it than he was supposed to say. Now they're backpedaling and doubling back to cover his ass. That's what's going on here. Castizos, the director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, made the remark during a policy address at the Endless Frontiers Retreat in Austin, Texas on April 14th. Our technologies permit us to manipulate time and space. Our technologies permit us to manipulate time. Kind of hard to say that's metaphorical. They leave distance annihilated, cause things to grow and improve productively. While the statement was likely intended as an aspirational language about technological progress, it has since circulated widely online. Is there a clip? Let's find out.
The board will decide.
Sam, should you have taken Elon's offer?
You refused $1 billion for Elon Musk. What do you want to say to Elon Musk?
Receive what from him?
What? Almost $100 billion.
Right? Sorry. The fucking clip on the article has nothing to do with the article. Why would you do that? Why would you put a clip on an article that has nothing to do with that? Whatever. That's just where we're at. How shitty the fucking media is. With the U.S. preparing for its 250th anniversary in 2026, Castizos' speech is one of several recent efforts by the Trump administration to spotlight so-called golden age of American innovation. So which one is it? See, this whole thing is bullshit. There's more to this story than we're getting. I'm going to have to look into this. There's more to this than we're getting. If his context if his comment was taken out of context, then where's the context? Because there was none. He didn't get any. So you can't say that what he said was taken out of context unless you show the context in which he made that statement, and they're not. So something's up with this. I think it's just he spilled the beans on something he should have been spilling the beans about, and they're backpedaling. That's what I think. I think he just said too much. It happens. It's been known to happen. People get, you know, they get arrogant. They get drunk with power. They get, you know, they think they're untouchable. Sometimes they just say more than they should have said. You know, Kennedy did that. JFK did that. I mean, he publicly said shortly before his assassination, I want to tell the American people about the alien thing, but my hands are tied. I mean, he publicly said that. I want to tell the American people about the quote-unquote alien thing, but my hands are tied. You know, I mean, it's, people say too much sometimes. I think that might be the case. I think this guy might just have said too much, and then he's had to be, well, he was talking about, he was just being metaphorical about how good our current technology is. Well, how come his speech wasn't about how good current American technology is? It wasn't about that at all. He just said that shit and moved on very quickly and didn't offer any reason up as to why he said that. So you, Newsweek, are the ones that are being conspiracy theorists on this, because you're offering up the conspiracy theory that what he said was probably it was metaphorical, talking about the golden age of American technology. Okay, see what you just did there? That, my friend, is a conspiracy theory. That's an assumption. And it's an assumption to cover up the real context of why he said this. Yeah, I smell a fucking rat's ass on that motherfucker. That's what I know, that's for sure. So I'm definitely smelling a rat on that one. No question. I'm just glad to have the power back on. We gotta raise $50. We're gonna turn the internet off here at the studio on Wednesday, and I've gotta be able to work. So here's the deal. If you don't hear a show from me, I gotta check. Tomorrow's 22nd. Okay. So I gotta raise it by tomorrow. If you don't hear a show from me on Wednesday, just donate, buy downloads, do whatever you do. That means I'm without internet. If you don't hear a show from me on Wednesday, okay? Just pay close attention to what you see me post on YouTube. I post the announcement video for the show and all that. Because, we gotta keep the internet on. $50 is all we gotta raise by tomorrow. Okay, guys? Dayglow76 at yahoo.com on PayPal. Reeves Radio, all lowercase, one word. Reeves Radio on the Cash App. Kevil J. Josh dash Kevil R. Reeves dash 61 on Venmo. 7894 to ask you for the last four digits. And buy downloads from the download store. 11 new films out this year. Go buy some. Oh, the complete 74 film collection is on sale in the download store right now. $350 for all 74 films. That is a deal that will be going up. It's not going to stay that price. So if you want to catch a deal and get all my films, I mean, you're saving hundreds getting that deal, over buying them individually. All 74 films, the complete Josh Reeves 74 film collection. Let somebody just buy one of those this week, will you? If somebody could buy one of those this week, then we'd be good until the operating costs are due again the first of next month. All right? Get to it. I love you. We'll see you next time.